Welcome. Hello. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Wherever you happen to be on the planet. Did you like that, Benny?
I love it because, you know, sometimes in the morning you have the lower voice when you wake up. You're like, good morning. Versus your evening. For me, I have most energy also, but, you know, morning, afternoon, or evening is how you determine this.
I love voice. Obviously, right? That's why I'm on the radio, right? But the inflection of the voice is fantastic. Which, by the way, is what we cannot get in texting and email.
No.
Which I sometimes really need when I'm trying to interpret what has come through.
It's a lot of black and white. We need the color in our life. And that comes from our voices.
Comes from our voices. So that's why we're here, Benny and I. And the amazing Benino and the mouth.
Benino? I got it. Isn't it? I went from Benini to Benino.
Benina. I'll go with it. Hey, you know, I'm just trying to wake everyone up. Anyway, this is the original Loretta Brown Show.
The OG.
The OG. That's right. And it's the radio to open the heart, heal the soul, and awaken the consciousness. And be careful when you Google Loretta Brown, because there are imposter Loretta Browns out there. But Yep.
You're the original.
I am, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned. Right. I'm the owner of Reiki Oasis, located right here in the greater Seattle area. We've been around for 23 years. You can find out more about me at ReikiOasis.com. And a few little quick announcements. If you're wanting to become a Reiki Master, we have Reiki Masterclass Saturday, September 29th. And, of course, sign up for everything at schedule.reikioasis.com. And I am taking a group to Egypt. Woo, we're full. We're leaving October 22nd, coming back November 9th. If you want to go to Egypt with me, I will be doing another trip. It's already in the
works. Wait, that means you're not going to be here for a couple shows, right?
I know, that's right.
What am I going to do?
I don't know.
I'll figure it out.
I'll send you
Can we do a live remote?
Yes, we can.
Ooh.
Ooh, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
I don't see why we couldn't.
Let's figure that out, Benny. That'd be awesome.
I'm down.
Be like, hey, here I am at the base of the pyramids. Here I am at the temple of Isis. I know, that'd be cool. Okay, well, we'll work on that, listeners. We'll definitely work on that. A big thank you to my Patreons. We are a listener-supported show. And from the bottom of my heart, I'm always grateful because doing a show like this where I bring on people who are making us think about things or wake up or, you know, help ourselves in some way. Airtime is not free, and any of you that go to patreon.com/theLorettaBrownShow and contribute anything at all, even your good wishes, I am very, very grateful. I'm also grateful that you listen, and I'm happy you listen. Otherwise, I'd just be talking to Benny, which, by the way, is not a bad thing. But
well, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. That's a compliment.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
This Saturday is not only the fall equinox, but there is a great psychic show at the Emerald Spiral at Kent Commons. So all of you people that have been waiting to get your crystals, get your readings, go hang out and rub shoulders with wonderful woo-woo people.
I think they should market that to, like, get your rock on.
Get your rock on. I like it.
Okay.
Somebody posted something on Facebook the other day saying something like, turn your kids onto crystals. They won't have money for drugs, right?
Very good point.
And they'll have crystals.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, could be good, right? So anyway, it's amazing stuff. It's Saturday, 9:22, Emerald Spiral at Kent Commons. Just a little ad for them. And there's amazing stuff to buy. It's 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., free lectures, free parking. And make sure you look for the jewelry table with Cindy and Jennifer. They have awesome jewelry. Oh, my goodness.
Only for example, since we are on the live version here, so you can hold them up.
Look.
I constantly have, and we keep in the studio, some rose quartz.
Yes.
And some other quartz.
Put that
and
right on my heart.
Yep.
It's right there.
Helps kind of blend out our studio.
Well, I'm putting it in my third eye today, too. Uh-huh. I guess I need to look at the world with love. And tell me about this one.
I did not bring that one in. Is that which one?
It's clear quartz.
Is it clear quartz? Okay.
Yeah.
I did not bring that one. The rose quartz was from another host.
Yeah,
of ours.
So they have slightly different frequencies. Mm-hmm. And of course, life is all about frequency. Thank you. I loved holding those. That was great.
Me too.
Yeah. It's great. It's really, really fun. So
keeps the electronic energy down for me.
Yeah, it does. It the crystals actually help drain my energy. I get pretty stoked up.
Mm-hmm.
And other things that work for me are essential oils and music, of course. I'm a musician as well as, you know, a person that works with energy and frequency. And, you know, sometimes we get a little bit, how do I say this? I have a very sensitive nervous system. I get electrical. So if you feel that way, you might benefit actually from getting crystals, essential oils, Reiki.
So now you need to make your own version of, instead of let's get physical, let's get electrical.
Wow, you are on it this
morning. Let's remix it.
I'm writing it down.
Do it.
Let's get electrical. I'm going for it. All right. So I have a wonderful guest today. Before I bring him on, I'm going to do the quickest little brief check-in with astrology, because Benny's always like, Loretta, don't you have something good to say about the sky positions? And I do.
You just answered my own question. So I'm waiting.
I know. So we have coming up, let me put it this way. In the next couple of weeks, like through the end of September, we do have a little bit of energy going back and forth, and we do have this fall equinox on Saturday, right? And it's preparing us for a very busy month in October, but I'm going to give you a lovely little thing which says, busy is not bad. Busy means I can get it done, and I can clean it out. And you know what? Today might be the day you meet your soulmate. Might be the day that you get that new job. It might be the day when you suddenly wake up to your own power and you begin to live life in a different way. So that's an over-brief condensation of the astrology. For the fall equinox on Saturday, this is the perfect opportunity to spend time outside, even if it's raining. I haven't looked at the weather forecast. Embrace changes in the natural world and, my favorite, practice gratitude. Nowadays, you're just as likely to celebrate a more figurative bounty by looking back on the last 12 months since last year's fall equinox. You'll probably recall something, maybe a new friendship, a relationship, a job, or something as simple as a new budgeting app, or in my case, a fitness app, that deserves a moment of reflection and, yes, gratitude. Fall is associated with major changes in the outside world as the leaves shift in color and animals start preparing for hibernation. And please, listeners, I don't know. I don't think you need to go into hibernation. We kind of have to work with it, right? So it's only natural to take a moment to recognize the changes that have taken place in your own life, too. So a great way to give back to the earth at this time of year is, you know, plant a tree. Take a walk, look out and appreciate all that nature has for us. Light a candle, say thank you. Or reach out to people who have helped you this year and say hi. Maybe you want to cover your coworker's shift. Ooh, what did Loretta just say? Or tip a little extra when you're out and about just to, you know, brighten people's day. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate as long as you simply intend to show thanks for the progress you've made since last fall. Wow. Now, Neptune is going to be our chart ruler for fall, and Neptune is the planet of illusions, visions, prayer, magic, and connection to things which cannot be seen with the eye, but are felt with the soul and the heart. So, wow, the next 90 days are really going to help us get out there and open to inner knowing, visions, and imagination. So there's tons and tons of really good stuff coming up. And I think that's a great segue for my amazing guest. Yep. My guest today, and I'm going to introduce him like this. Every single savior the world has ever known has come and gone. You know about many of them, right? Jesus and Buddha and all those guys. Yet there's still war and suffering on this planet. So what went wrong? What have the teachings of all our religions neglected to reveal? Is there a path for the salvation of humanity? Is there a divine plan for the salvation of humanity? Can we be saved? It's my big question. My guest today is Les Jensen. He is an author, a radio host, a speaker, an energy master, and a visionary. He is committed to promoting personal empowerment, and his life purpose is being of service to others. In that vein, Les created New Human Living in 2009 and also hosts New Human Living Radio. And Les has written a great book called Forgiven Sinner, God's Last Savior. And today, Les is going to help us understand our role in helping restore heaven on earth. Welcome to the show, Les Jensen.
Why, thank you so much. I just want to add that I have rose quartz here in my studio.
Oh.
Intentionally.
Yeah.
See, get your rock on.
Get your
That's
rock
right.
on.
I told you from the get-go, get your rock on.
Let's rock and roll.
Let's there rock and roll. Let's oh, I it. Love that. That gives a whole new meaning to that saying, let's rock and roll. I like that, Les. You guys are really on it today. Getting inspired already. So this book, Forgiven Sinner, God's Last Savior, is going to bring up a whole wealth of information and a little bit of a touchy subject for some people. So I want to ask, you know, and this is a big question, I do realize, but Les, can you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself and how did you come to write this book?
Well, I spent my career in broadcast television, and as a side effect of that, I watched the world evolve or not evolve. And in TV, we had these back channel feeds where we would get video from all over the world every day. And I was born and raised Mormon in a small town in Utah. And that religion told me that there's this big-ass dude with some kick-ass pants, and he's going to kick the devil all the way to hell or send me to hell based on how I behave. And what really kind of rubbed me wrong was I didn't see any traction. I didn't see any bursting out of the suffering bubble, if you will. I didn't see genres of humanity finding new ground, if you will. And I was the last of seven kids, so by then mom and dad had been on kid overload, so I had total freedom to think and do whatever I wanted. What I realized the more I noodled this idea that, well, there's supposed to be salvation and this suffering's supposed to end, what I realized what they were teaching us wasn't moving us anywhere, really. It was like a repetitive genre or mantra that we'd say over and over again, putting the salvation of ourselves either on saviors or whenever God gets around to it, he'll clean up this mess. But we're spending more on military. We had been expanding the pain and suffering model, if you will, of humanity. I didn't see anything that was really getting traction. And so Forgiven Sinner is a look at kind of the idea of salvation and what our particular role is. Like you said in the intro, our saviors aren't going to save us. Mm-hmm. When, for example, in the Western Christian religion, when Jesus left the earth, the Roman Empire was fully engaged in war. He didn't stop war. Is he going to go to super savior school and then come back and kick suffering's ass all the way to hell? I don't think so. So I wrote Forgiven Sinner to put us, the human beings, front and center in our own salvation, because God is not going to descend like some glowing orb and wave a wand and transform our human condition. It'll be through us, the human beings, to decide whether or not that happens.
That's powerful, what you're saying, and it also, I, I am going to say, and you're aware of this too, that what you just said will inflame some people and make other people curious. And a lot of that, you know, because I share with you being raised in a staunch Christian upbringing and kind of expanding into what I'm doing here in kind of a, I'm going to say it, a self-exploration way, right? But I remember also as a little girl, I would sit in Sunday school and they would say things like salvation and redemption and sin and forgiveness. And I constantly was asking, what was that? Like, what do you mean? And then I would also do a lot of looking. I love pictures. I'm very visual. And my mom had these big books with pictures of the children all hanging off of Jesus like a Hopi storytelling doll, right? And to me, that's what I loved. And then I would go to church and they'd be, you know, preaching hellfire and brimstone. Everybody's going to hell. And I was confused. And I have to tell you, it just really confused me for a long, long time. So this idea that salvation, you know, and I'm going to bring up a quote, which I think will help lead us into it a little bit for the listeners. You have a great quote from your book, and it says, "The great spiritual geniuses, whether it was Moses, Buddha, Plato, Socrates, Jesus, or Emerson, have taught men to look within himself to find God." And that's a quote from Ernest Holmes. So can you talk a little bit more about what does it mean? Where do we find God? Where is the kingdom of heaven? And what is it?
Well, it's the kingdom of heaven is pure consciousness at the center of our being. In the book, I describe a moment of my life where I guess my soul decided to drag my ego kicking and screaming out of my ego awareness. I had this epiphany, if you will, and my soul chose to preempt that to kind of get me ready for this moment of bliss, if you will. My life path was curious in that at a young age, I found myself standing in front of television transmitters. Mm. These are really high-powered broadcasting transmitters that take an immense amount of electrical energy, frequency energy, and power, and runs it through the building and out the antenna to create a million-watt signal. Well, a million watts will gladly melt the transmitter in a fraction of a second. The thing about power is, in order for the power to be graceful, it has to be in harmony with the nature of itself. And what that did for me is it took me several years, really, of scratching my head going, what the hell's happening in this big-ass box? When I press the go button and the glycol pumps kick on and the 30,000-volt power supplies come up, and I mean, I had to be really careful about how I handled this power. And then fast forward to this episode, there was a moment in my life when I guess the word would be retreated within myself. My soul chose to show me the divinity within me. And it was a moment of light, L-I-G-H-T. It's beyond words, but imagine a bright light bulb and you move your face closer and closer to it until your rod cone array is saturated and every single thing you see is pure white light. That was the heaven within me. That was source consciousness. In the beginning was the light. Well, the light had no form. When I was within it, there was no me. I know that might not make sense, but there was no thing either. There was no north, south, here, there, no time, no space, no object. It was just pure consciousness. And I know my soul did that for a specific reason. The light was extremely indifferent to anything and everything I chose. It was nothing but unconditional love. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment of my life. And then I returned back to my body, if you will, and the journey between the two kind of showed me the spectrum of human persona, if you will, from my own perspective, of course. And it really helped me understand the notion of, well, what is power in a human persona, in a human consciousness? And I'm here, my life purpose really is to describe how to embody unconditional love, or in other words, how to reveal the heaven within you, within the karmic storm here on planet Earth.
I like that. So reveal the heaven within you, that it is in you amid that karmic storm, which I just have to sit with that for a minute. I had an experience years ago on a vision quest where in the moment of just before I received my vision, I experienced light, and I was in darkness, and there was light, and I realized the light was coming out of me. It was coming out of my heart. And I kind of get what you're saying. There's some sort of a realization or a connection, and those are feeble words for it, for the experience. Yeah. You've had a lot of opportunity. You know, you start your book with this great story of being dropped off at the top of a mountain with snow all around. You got to traipse through the snow, and the helicopter won't land because, you know, who knows how deep that snow is. And how you've had these amazing experiences to explore all of this. And you make a mention in your book, and I'm going to quote from your book. It says, "My soul chose my life path to put me in front of high-power television transmitters so I could start to understand the nature of power that was not perceivable by our five senses. That would be a core aspect of what I was here on Earth to teach and write about." And I think you just talked about that. But what do you mean, my soul chose my life path?
Well, we all have a life purpose. And the dynamic of a lifetime is chosen by the soul before we incarnate. And, you know, it's kind of curious because had you caught me early in my life, maybe my late teens, early 20s, and said, well, Les, you're going to be an author. You're going to write about human consciousness, about these, quote, salvation, unquote, of humanity. I wouldn't know anything of what you were talking about. And even how I came into working in television was such a sidestep, if you will, from what my ego thought was going to happen in my life. And also the dynamic of my family of origin. There was quite a karmic storm there. You know, a calm sea doesn't make a skilled sailor. And I think in this chapter of our human story, very powerful old souls choose to incarnate into some of the darkest tempests of human consciousness to kind of assure that we shake ourselves out of the storyline, the stigma of the social and collective consciousness. You know, the thing about power is there's so many people that talk about frequency and energy, and that's very important. Those are really very important components, but how much energy is what power talks about? The power in human consciousness, power comes from a difference of potential. If there's a dam to make electricity, and I know it seems silly, but just imagine both sides of the dam have equal amounts of water. There's no difference. There's no difference in potential, so no power is there. It's only when one side of the dam has water and the other side of the dam doesn't that the pressure, the power of the water can be harnessed. So in our human dynamic, you look through your 3D eyes and you see the suffering, and your ears hear stories of humanity's atrocities towards humanity. The way to be powerful is to be a difference from that consciousness. And to be really powerful, it comes from the purity of your heart. And to stay in that power and not go crazy is the authenticity that I also talk about in the book. I see legions of mystics, sages, alchemists, saviors coming out of the everyday population. It's time for us to claim the truth of who we are and show up as powerful personas on this planet.
So my guest today is Les Jensen. We're talking about his new book, Forgiven Sinner, God's Last Savior. We're going to take a station break, and this is Loretta Brown. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Energy is powerful. It's all around us, mysterious, full of potential. Directing positive, healing energy to raise your vibrational rate through Reiki can change your life. Reiki Master Loretta Brown has relieved stress, sadness, anger, and even helped clients lose weight, stop smoking, and end sleep disorders. Worldwide, people have sought out Reiki Oasis. If you want help with your dis-ease, visit ReikiOasis.com. Harness life's energy. Visit ReikiOasis.com today.
The stigma of addiction is destroying lives across the country, preventing our loved ones from getting the help they need. We are Shatterproof, a national nonprofit dedicated to ending the stigma and devastation addiction causes families. We are changing laws, creating a community of support, and providing evidence-based resources for prevention, treatment, and recovery. Stigma shatters lives. Rise up against addiction now so another life isn't lost. Get involved at shatterproof.org/riseup.
Alternative Talk 1150. We're on your radio at 1150 AM. We're on your HD radio at 98.9 Channel 3.
So many ways to listen.
We're on the web at 1150kknw.com. Streaming live audio and video as well as MP3 archives of many of our shows.
So many ways to listen.
And now, we're on your smartphone or tablet. Download our free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play and take Alternative Talk 1150 anywhere you go.
So many ways to listen.
Let angels and Reiki and the search for mystical knowledge become a regular part of your routine Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. Loretta Brown, owner of Reiki Oasis, Reiki Master Teacher, an angel messenger, and healing musician, all wrapped into one as she uses her voice to share knowledge of great mysteries, energetic laws, and messages of love from the divine. Join her and her show every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. to open your heart and heal your soul. Visit ReikiOasis.com for more information about her show. Did you know that Reiki healing can be done at a distance? It's true. So let Reiki Oasis focus powerful energy to help relieve your stress, grief, sadness, anger, and so much more. Convenient, personalized treatments at a distance can increase lightness of being. During your appointment, find a quiet place to lie down or sit to receive healing energies. If you want help with your dis-ease, visit ReikiOasis.com. Harness life's energy. Visit ReikiOasis.com today.
Radio with no added hormones or preservatives. All natural. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the amazing original Loretta Brown Show. You know, I just like adjectives.
That's me too.
It. Yeah, yeah, me
They're
too.
Fantastic.
They're fantastic. We're having fun this morning. My guest is Les Jensen, and we're talking about a wonderful subject needs to be talked about, and it's about salvation, sinners, saviors, and what does that have to do with us in our modern-day world, and how do we, as the everyday citizen, fit into all of this? So, Les, to bring you back in, I just want to ask, what, because you mentioned just before the break that you see saviors coming out of everyday life or everyday people. What is a savior, and what is the purpose of a savior? And, you know, if we're not talking about Jesus and Buddha and God, or are we?
Well, the well, I could go several directions. Saviors teaches how we, if we choose to, we have free agency. Saviors show us the way to find the divinity within ourselves. They are not, the saviors are not here to steer the collective consciousness against its will. Saviors are personas that show us the path to returning to understanding and embodying the truth of who we are as divine personifications of God essence, basically. So there's no saving in the sense that we're separate from God. There's never, ever a moment that any of your consciousness is not God consciousness expressing. You run on the consciousness of Source or God or whatever you want to call it. It's the consciousness behind all consciousness. So the idea of salvation is in and of itself a myth. But the curious thing is we're here for the human experience. It's quite clear God, Goddess, will not descend from the heavens and tell us what to do. Zero times has a war stopped because a glowing orb came down from the heavens and waved a wand.
Mm.
Zero times has the direction of humanity been forced upon itself from some divine deity. Unconditional love says, as you choose. So it'll be the human beings, us, flesh and bones. Flesh and bones decides the direction of humanity on this planet. And then until we own that, take ownership of that, and it's a wonderful, beautiful, delightful gift, actually. It's a wonderful thing. But until we own ourselves as the decider of where humanity goes, we will fumble about in the ignorance of the past, if you will.
That's a lot in what you said. We are the ones choosing. It's our flesh and bones. You know, I often have clients come to me and they want to have some help, you know, with the future, like what's coming up or what choice should I make, right? And I remember not too long ago, I had a client come in, it might be a couple of years ago, and he just kept saying things like, why is God doing this to me? You know, and other people say things like, doesn't God hear me? I'm down here suffering and I'm asking for this thing. Why don't I have it?
I want it and I want it now.
I want it and I want it now. And I sometimes say, but God is not a wish fulfilling genie, you know, so, but we do have these ideas, and it kind of goes back to, you know, what we're trained in. And I don't mean to pick on religion. That's not my point this morning. But we are often, there's this element of fear versus love, powerlessness versus the power to choose. And I kind of look around and I see, you know, what's going on in the world, and a lot of people are very desperate about it. You know, our anger has come up, our fear has come up, our frustration. Like, are we going to be okay, Loretta? You know, God, are we going to be okay? So, what comments can you give to the audience? Things such as, what is the power of prayer? Does it really help us? And is praying to God the best way to end the suffering of humanity?
Well, that's a good question. Prayer is a very powerful tool, but prayer in and of itself sucks at getting anything done.
Mm.
Billions of prayers over the centuries, over the generations, easily billions of prayers have been prayed to end the suffering on the planet. How many mothers have prayed for their sons as soldiers? Or the flipping soldier in a foxhole going, boy, howdy, this sucks. You know, God, take me away, end this suffering. And as I've mentioned, God's not going to do diddly squat as far as reach over our shoulder and grab the steering wheel. We hold the steering wheel. So when you pray, so say, for example, and I can say this for myself, my big epiphany in my life was me discovering an immense amount of unresolved anger in my persona. If we talk about wattage, it's millions and millions of watts in my persona. And it was subconscious. Hey, I'm an easygoing guy. Hey. And my health was going downhill and whatnot. And the moment my life changed was the moment when something that was inside me that I was not aware of, an immense amount of anger from my family dynamic, all of a sudden comes flowing out of my persona, and just like turning on a transmitter, here's this immense amount of energy flowing through my psyche. And I remember going, well, who the hell are you? And the anger's like, I don't care. I'm impersonal. Karma itself is impersonal. Karma, like gravity, doesn't give. It doesn't care how you experience it. Your beliefs, your thoughts, your feelings decide your karmic experience. But the curious thing is, when you pray, so say I would pray, you know, I want to have a more loving relationship. And I've got all this anger in my psyche. I want to have a more loving relationship. Mm-hmm. God, that'd be swell. Could you do that for me, please? And he puts an angry person in front of me. And it's like, no, wait, didn't you read the text? I said a more loving relationship. When we want something and we pray for it, every single time the answer comes. But it doesn't come to push away our life path. It doesn't come to push who we are out of our psyche. It vibrationally shows up as the equivalent of how we would feel if the prayer was answered. It's like an energetic seed showing us the vibration that our personal energy persona would embody if we were to experience that. And the answer to the prayer is kind of an energetic sample that we can use to clean out our persona of everything incongruent to that.
Mm.
Again, we're here for the human experience. It'll be through our human journey, through our human evolution, through our personal growth that we truly achieve all that we desire. It is the path of every soul.
So, because you said you raised like three questions in my head. only three, huh?
That happens.
I know. I want to talk a little bit. There's two things. Number one, because you're talking frequency here, and I really get that.
Sure.
What is the creative process? And what do frequencies have to do to that? You already touched on it, but I just want to bring that out a little bit more.
Sure. Well, the frequency, when it comes time to get a million watts of electricity to move through a transmitter and out the antenna, purity was paramount. To move a large amount of energy, purity is very critical. And harmony comes into play as well. When we look at a personal energy persona, understand that we live on a planet that is probably the most advanced classroom of karma, perhaps in the whole flipping galaxy. How can a divine being, how can an infinitely powerful personification of divine consciousness play out the role of a slave, of being tortured, of being abused? If the truth of us is we're really powerful, and we are, we as souls chose to take an immense amount of our power and compress it into lower vibration and push it into our subconscious. People who do energy work know how it feels to move energy. And when you first, If you haven't done energy work before, there's a lot of low-hanging fruit, if you will, kind of like superficial energy riding on top of your personal energy persona. But the souls on this planet have incarnated many, many, many times. And in the past, the vast majority of the paradigm has been war and butchery and all flavor of suffering. It's easy to see in our culture now. A young kid from the neighborhood goes to war and he comes back all messed up because he has PTSD. The trauma of all that was pushed into his subconscious and his power level dropped immensely. I see him panhandling here, and some of them look like they're trying to get through the minute or the moment, let alone the hour or the day. If they catch a cold tonight, they'll die. And so purity and frequency and energy, the densest karma we have is so subtle. It's like concrete. The heavy lifting, if you will, of energy work is to like jackhammer the dense energy in our psyche until we purify ourselves. As Jesus said, boy, howdy, you guys are going to do everything I'm going to do. Come on, belly up to the bar. But in order for that to fulfill, the power that we compress into our psyche needs to be released. And the catcher is power, when it's released, changes our experience with our environment. And that's why we can pray to God or archangels, pick one, deities, big powerful deities, and say, heal my ass. Heal me. Take me out of this suffering. And none of them ever will go in there and wipe you clean of your karma. Again, it's for the human experience. And also, because they're beings of unconditional love, they will not do anything to your psyche that will bring fear to your ego. So you can really accelerate your ability to work with the denser karmic imprinting by teaching your ego not to be afraid of it being released. And then to learn how to get the dense stuff. The denser it is, the more of your power it holds.
Mm.
If it comes right off the top, it's like raking leaves on the lawn. But in order for us to make the journey back to the light, it is an inside job, and energy is directly related to that journey.
You know, I love that answer. I think you answered that in the most marvelous way for me that I've ever heard. That resonated me completely. You know, I am an energy worker and frequency girl, and I love how you talked about that. Power when released changes our interaction with our environment, and the releasing of that power comes through a process of going through that denseness, and that your power is being held in the denseness. That's so clear to me. That was awesome. That was brilliant.
Thanks.
Yeah, I like it. And so we have this, I hesitate to use the word work, because people always go, oh, work.
How about liberation?
You know, I'm sorry, you have to do the work. You know, like you said, Jesus says, come on, belly up, you know. Look what I'm doing. What are you doing, right? Eating Cheetos and Netflixing, binging. What are you doing over there, right? But we do have to enter into this creative process. And this idea of the great archangels and the beings of light that, as we say, love us so much, that they will be there to help us go through this.
Right.
And we have to go through it, because this is a frequency game.
Sure.
You know, if we don't match the frequency, we just simply don't match it. And I think that's what you're talking about when you talk about purity of that signal. Can you talk to me a little bit about what is shared karma? And also this comment, I'm just reiterating for myself and the audience, you mentioned the subtle karma. Karma is subtle. A lot of people think it's loud and blaring, but what is shared karma?
There's a like a common karmic journey that this family of souls chose to do on this planet. We collectively chose to load up our psyches individually with so much karma that we could play out the last cycle of consciousness, which was thousands of years of pain and suffering. I mean, we built out a nuclear arsenal that could have vaporized life on the planet. We went to the edge of life itself. And collectively, we had to do it collectively because consciousness is so very powerful. Imagine a planet with 7 billion Jesuses and one bloke that's got really heavy karma. He couldn't sustain himself with so much high vibration consciousness. Mm-hmm. The only way we were able to play out a storyline where all of humanity went to the darkest of dark is for the vast majority of humanity to load up with karma. And so it's a collective agreement to share this, all the karmic archetypes, you know, slave, they're really quite countless, just anything that brings suffering to the human condition. We chose to go through these paradigms so over and over and over again so we could get to the point where we're running on fumes, our ego was disconnected from source, the quantum mirror reflected to us the unresolved karmic quagmire within our own subconscious. And so that's what I mean. This is a really advanced class of how to love in the darkest of dark, if you will. We as very powerful souls chose to go to the edge of darkness. And I suggest to you, wow, this chapter right now, this chapter of humanity right now is an extremely powerful opportunity for a human being to recognize what power is. The more your personal power you can embody within the storm, the more divine love can flow through you, in you, as you. You want to talk about rapture, about ecstatic bliss. Mm. Mm. To be the vehicle of unconditional love in the karmic storm, it doesn't get any better than that. If everybody was Jesus, there'd be no healing to be done. There'd be no love to... It goes back to that differential. There has to be a difference of consciousness for power to express. If we were all powerful, there would be nothing to be powerful about. So as dark as it is here, it's an extremely wonderful time to master what the hell power is and how you yourself can embody it by discovering the ocean of unconditional love at the core of your being.
So love is that tipping point, and I like this idea of rapture. I was talking to somebody about what does it mean to be in rapture yesterday. That's interesting. And we, in my mind's eye, came these great works of art where, like, you know, Mary or Mary Magdalene's looking up into the light with this rapturous expression, like, I'm gone into the light now. And you're right. You know, Jesus did say, you know, what I do, you will do, and you will even do more. You will do more than I have done, which is hard for us to accept. So a planet filled with beings of unconditional love, that's an amazing concept. That's absolutely an amazing concept. So what is divine humanity?
It's humanity that has discovered, embody, and is expressing the truth of who they are.
So we have to know who we are in order to express it?
Well, I talk about authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
Western religion has this idea of a template, like if we move towards righteousness, well, righteousness is how we get into heaven. Well, baloney, wrongchestness, creating the wrong word, is also divine. Both light and the shadow are both divine. heaven doesn't have a template. We're here. When heaven fully arrives on earth, every single persona will have a completely unique and authentic experience. We're not here to copy each other. We're not here to fill some template of what God wants us to be. Again, it's through our human desires, our human intentions, that God expresses. So the divine human being is authentic. You want a tattoo on your ass? Plop it there. You want to play the music loud? Have at it. We're here to express our own divine authentic desires, because the desire of God shows up through the face of man as human desire. That's why we get to steer the boat.
The face of God shows up in human man. I like that. So what's coming up in the future? I get asked this. Who is in charge of the future? Is it pre-written by a divine power? Are we just subject to that? And, of course, we've been talking about this the whole time, but what's coming up for us?
What do we intend to happen?
Exactly. I set you up. I felt I was doing like a, you know.
Sure. I appreciate that. For myself, over decades, my ego has learned to understand how flippin' cool it is to shut up and hold still and let my heart and my soul drive, to put on virgin eyes every day and look again at what seemed to be mundane and look for the divine behind all of expression. I don't want to ever say no to love. I don't want to ever deny the impulse of love within my persona, an opportunity to express in yet a new and unique way. Might as well face it. Being addicted to love is a glorious and wonderful thing.
I'm addicted to love. I think that's a song.
Yeah, Robert Palmer.
Robert Palmer. So we are, unfortunately, at the end of our time, Les. It went by so, so fast. The book is Forgiven Sinner, God's Last Savior. My guest is Les Jensen. And Les, where can they find you?
You can go to newhumanliving.com, and I'm here to language unconditional love and how to live it. I have a website, lesjensen.com. I have several other books that help awaken the divinity within you. Forgiven Sinner can be ordered through my website at Amazon or wherever they sell books. And I have the New Human Living radio show that you can find at newhumanliving.com, where we talk about people that are shaping the potential of human consciousness on this planet.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Thanks for writing this book. And to everybody out there, have a wonderful week. And go to the Psychic Fair. Get some crystals. And, hey.
Yeah, get your rock on.
Get your rock on. Let's rock and roll. And let's be addicted to love. That's right. This is Loretta Brown. Talk to you next time.